Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we are in our second Sunday in the season of Advent. And on this day, we hear from Mark, the gospel writer. There he is on the end. Mark, the evangelist. And from Mark, we hear the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So here we are at the very beginning of a new church year, and so we get the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But wait. After this amazing announcement from John that this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, do we hear birth stories of Jesus like we get from either Luke or from Matthew? No, we don't. Do we hear stories about what happened to Jesus during his formative teen years? No, we don't. Do we get a glimpse of his home life or a glance at what he did to earn a living? Or what did Jesus do to have fun? No, we don't. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what we get is a gander at John the Baptist, and let's face it, he's a little weird. We were establishing that. As we approach Christmas, we love to hear the birth stories of Jesus. From Luke, we get the Annunciation as Gabriel comes to tell Mary that she will bear a child. We see Zechariah struck dumb for doubting the birth of his son John. We watch Mary and Elizabeth greet one another, both in wonder at the amazing things that God is doing through them. From Matthew, we see Joseph as he struggles in his decision, do I marry Mary or set her aside? We cheer with the angel hosts. We encourage the shepherds to go and see. Those stories are the heart of Christmas. But these stories are nothing that we get from Mark. He shows us none of them. To begin Mark's gospel, Mark introduces us to Jesus' weird second cousin, John. Because John the Baptist is weird, at least the John the Baptist that we meet today in the gospel reading. Now, if Luke can be believed, Jesus and John the Baptist were second cousins. Martha and Mary were cousins, so that means that their children are second cousins. If Luke can be believed again, then John is also one of a priestly family whose job it was to make sure the smooth operation of the temple in Jerusalem. John's father, Zechariah, met the angel in the holy place. John's genealogy puts him in the temple with his father, and John uses none of those things when we meet him this morning. The John we meet today is dressed with hairy camel skin and a leather belt, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He was out in the wilderness near the river, not in the temple, and John was proclaiming to anyone and everyone who would listen a repentance for our lives. John wasn't out there instructing people on how to properly live a sacrificing life where sin is erased by the blood of lambs or oxen or turtle doves. John was telling us that our lives need to turn around. We need to stop and listen for God and then turn and follow God into a new life of faithfulness and love. This was something new, and to many people, that message was weird. Now we have heard this message of repentance, and we even know that Jesus himself will begin proclaiming that same message, that same goal of repentance at the beginning of his ministry. But in John's day, that was not the message du jour for anyone. Instead, the assumption was that we're all going to be going along just fine. Now, we might need to confess a sin or two, and we may need to pay for those sins through sacrifice. But that was what was correcting our relationship with God entailed. John wanted us to see that we need change. Our lives, our very living. Rather than finding what is the smallest sacrifice required to make up for this particular sin, John is encouraging us now to live a life that loves God and loves our neighbor, that remembers widows and orphans and other castaways. John was weird, and he was attracting attention to himself. John knew that in order to get people away from the temple, away from Jerusalem, he needed a gimmick. Camel skins and leather belts, those were not rough and ready garments. It wasn't a camel's hair sport coat with a coach belt, all right? It was as if John the Baptist was out in the wilderness wearing a kilt and a poncho with black socks underneath his sandals, all right? He was weird. He ate bugs and honey. Now, locusts and crickets are, you know, a source of protein to many different people in many different countries. But John didn't do that in order to be trendy, but rather like Simba and Timon and Pumbaa, he was doing it because it was rough and ready. It was easy to pick up bugs, and there you are, all right? The strange clothes, the even stranger diet, it was all meant to attract attention, to get people to want to come out and check this weirdo in the wilderness, and it worked. John attracted attention, but it wasn't really for himself. John gathered crowds who would listen to him, but more importantly, crowds who heard him. The crowds came that they may repent and then be washed in the river, washing away their sins as they were starting a new life, a new way of living. And while all of that was happening, John was not using that fame or notoriety for himself. He was pointing to Jesus. This is the beginning of the good news that we've been waiting for. John's message of repentance and forgiveness was pointing to Christ. John's encouragement to new lives of love and service was pointing to Christ. John told the people gathered around him that he was not the one everyone was waiting for. No, one more powerful, one more worthy is coming. John said, I baptize with water. I baptize to mark this repentance you have made. But he whose sandals I'm not worthy to touch, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and your lives will truly change. See, this is really John's job. It is the reason why he is there, and it's even the reason he looks and acts so weird. He wants people to come and listen to him as he prepares the way of the Lord. You see, Mark gave us those clues at the beginning of this gospel when he tells us that as it is written in Isaiah, there will be a messenger, one who will prepare the way, make paths straight and roads all smooth. We heard that passage from Isaiah again today. The valleys lifted up, the mountains laid low, so that the path of God's chosen one will be smooth and straight. Isaiah is reminding us that even in the deepest valleys of despair in our lives, God comes to us and lifts us up. When we really do think that we're all that in a bag of chips, God will come and let a little air out of us. When there are walls erected to keep us or others out, God's love comes to shatter those walls. That is where our repentance can lead to. A life where the valleys are lifted up, where the mountains are laid low, and our lives are smooth. Mark is beginning his gospel, showing us that the world into which Jesus enters, while it might be dark and treacherous like ours is, into that world there is hope and there is peace for God's people. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ is that people like John the Baptist were pointing their way to Jesus. And that's our job as well. Into our world, dark and treacherous as it appears, we carry the light of God's love in Jesus Christ. We point to Jesus and we point to the love of God that Jesus brings. We can attract attention however we want, but that attention is so that we can then point to Jesus, that we can point to the forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus brings to all of us. You don't have to wear camel skins or eat bugs. You don't have to leave your homes and move to the wilderness. Instead, we get to live as children of God, sharing the goodness and the grace we receive from God every day. We get to love our neighbors, following Jesus all the way. A phrase I like to live by is, well begun is half done. From cooking to painting walls, hanging wallpaper to building stairs. If you begin well, if you anticipate what you're going to need, if you gather all of your tools and equipment, your task is actually easier and much more fun. Today, Mark, our evangelist, is trying to live that same sentiment. John the Baptist, weird as he is laying the groundwork and pointing to Jesus. He's laying the groundwork and pointing to all of the wonder, the love, and the grace that comes to us all through Jesus. And so may the hope of Advent grant us peace this day as we go out into the world pointing to Christ as John has shown us how. Amen.